What's good, y'all? Welcome back to Marshall Time, episode 55. What's going on, bro?
What's going on?
Man, Jimmy Butler suspended again. This time for 2 games for missing a team flight to their game on Wednesday. And keep in mind, he was just suspended for 7 games. To be honest with you, I'm over the Jimmy Butler story. I'm just ready for this story to go away, whether he gets traded. Miami has to trade him. He's made it known. His agents made it known. He doesn't want to be in Miami. Miami's not going to pay him, which, by the way, I think is the right move. Business-wise, basketball-wise, he'll be, what, 36 this year? Later this year? Are you paying him $50 million? Like $60 million? I'm not – look, Jimmy Butler, get you, if somebody's willing to pay you $60 million to play basketball at 50, at 40, by all means, I'm waiting for that deal too. Like, hey, I just turned 36. I don't know how much I got left in the tank, but I can still hoop a little bit. If you want to pay me millions of dollars to do it, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna accept the deal. So apparently the Suns are his preferred destination. The Suns just made a trade, right? Dealing with some draft picks. I guess they're trying to figure out how to facilitate a trade, which will probably involve multiple teams, according to reports. I want to start this thing off by saying I don't think it matters if the Suns get Jimmy Butler or not. I'll give you my reasons, but I just want to start off the conversation and toss it to you by saying the Suns getting Jimmy Butler, while would be a better move compared to keeping Bradley Beal, because I do think Jimmy Butler is a better basketball player than Bradley Beal, but it doesn't fix the fundamental core issue that this roster has. So to me, you're still doing the same dance of 3 big names, but you're ignoring the fact that it takes chemistry. Once again, you're playing with the game of basketball once again by saying we don't need chemistry. It's February. We're going to add in Jimmy Butler, who's used to playing a certain way, who's used to being a number one. We're going to join him with Devin Booker and Kevin Durant and think it's going to compete with the likes of the Thunder, the Grizzlies, the Rockets, the Nuggets. I don't think it works like that. But that's just me.
Nah, it's not going to work out. I mean, obviously, they have to – this is the reality. They do have to make a move. And Jimmy Butler is probably the best move they can make. So I'm not going to kill him for it. But if you, like, as a fan, if you're a Suns fan, you shouldn't expect too much. Like, at the end of the day, we know Kevin Durant and D-Book. We know their game, right? We also know what Jimmy Butler can bring to the table. We know that Jimmy Butler is going to bring defense for them, and that's good. But the Suns are still lacking. They're lacking at the big man position, right? They went and got Nick Richards. He had a good first game. Mm-hmm. But, like, in the long run, what are we really expecting from Nick Richards, right? Also, their bench still isn't deep. Like, they're not a deep team at all. They're very top-heavy, and that's their problem. D-Book and KD, they can get all the buckets they want. But it's not Kobe and Shaq. It's not none of that, okay? This is just, it's not it. And the Suns, you know, they try to put big names together. And, you know, even as fans, we were like, okay, we like this. You know, it looks good. But we didn't account for the fact that Bradley Beal, as a third option, we never seen it. We finally see it. It's not it. He's not good as a third option. Being a third option in basketball, in the NBA at least, means that you're going to have less shots, but your shots have to be way more efficient. Bradley Beal throughout his career is a volume scorer, right? Volume shooter, you know. We play with John Wall. You know, John Wall is a very fast point guard, likes to get downhill, kick out. That was good for Billy, but he was able to get a lot of shots as number two option. Same way he played with Westbrook. They played a fast brand of basketball, able to get a lot of shots up, able to get out in transition. The Suns, it's not like that. You got to remember, Devin Booker's not even a point guard. He's not a point guard. You know, sometimes he's forced to play it depending on, you know, the lineup. But he's not a natural point guard. Devin Booker is a bucket. Same with Kevin Durant. You're being subjected to, you know, sit in the corner, wait for your shots. Of course, they might give you a little ISO plays here and there. But the fit isn't it. And he sees it. That's why he wants out. The fit isn't it. He's a scorer. Bradley Beal's a scorer. You don't bring in a Bradley Beal to play defense. Of course, that would be ideal. But that's not his game. It's never been his game. So being a third option, man, like, people don't understand. Same thing I used to tell people about Tobias in Philly, right? Now, we all know Tobias, like, I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not saying, you know, he's this great player, this, that, or the third. But people saw him average, you know, 20, 21 points on the bad teams and thought he was going to come to Philly and do the same. No, and Philly's the third option. They're asking him to do multiple different things, right? Rebound, play make, defend, and score while getting less shots. It's hard to do. That's why your third option should be more so somebody like a Draymond Green, right? Somebody who you don't have to, you know, you see what the Warriors did. Steph and Clay, you guys are our scorers. Draymond, we need you to do the dirty work. Dennis Rodman with the Bulls, do the dirty work, right? That's what your third option should be. So, you know, it's a little tricky right now for them. But like I said, Jimmy Butler is the best move. Jimmy Butler, you know, he can do the dirty work, but we know that, let's say it's a game where Kevin Durant and D-Book, let's say they're off. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Butler's going to want those shots. Mm-hmm. But do you think Kevin Durant, you think an off night is going to stop Kevin Durant from getting his shots up? No. Devin Booker? Not. No.
Of course not.
So it's just not going to be it. I don't think it's going to be it.
So I'm going to read off, you know, some names from their roster. Good, you know, solid players. Tyus Jones. I like Ryan Dunn, their rookie. I think he's going to be good in this league. Nick Richards, I like. Grayson Allen, Royce O'Neal, Mason Plumlee, Monty Morris. I'm not going to mention Nurkic because he got benched for Plumlee, and Richards is now, I guess, their starter now. So just reading off these lists of names, Dunn is still young. He's still finding his way. I think Richards is really good in what he does. But outside of that, none of these guys offer – they're role players, right? But none of these guys offer – how do I want to put this? They're not elite in what they offer, right? So let me pull up. Not even elite, at least dynamic in some way. So I'll pull up the OKC Thunder roster. Isaiah Hartenstein, he's not a superstar by any stretch, right? But what he does, providing a presence, being a big body, that floater, like you know that floater's coming. It is consistent mm-hmm. and reliable.
Rebounding.
Alex Caruso, a menace on defense. Lou Dort, a menace on defense.
And he improved his three-point shot.
He's improving his three-point shooting. Let's go to the Rockets in second place in the West. Check out their roster. So, Amen Thompson, he's just a raw athlete doing everything, but he's a presence out there.
High IQ.
Jalen Green, still growing, but he's starting to catch some eyes now. Dynamic, explosive. Dylan Brooks, a savvy vet. Fred VanVleet, savvy vet. Makes big shots. Let's go to the Grizzlies roster. Obviously, Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson, Desmond Bane. Jalen Wells is a second-round draft pick, but he's one of the best stories in this league who is defending some of the best players on a nightly basis in the league. So you know that's his calling card. Oh, and he can shoot it. You know you're getting that from him. A Scottie Pippen Jr., dynamic in his role when he comes off the bench. Santi Aldama, dynamic in his role. Brings size, brings versatility. When looking at this Suns roster, take away KD and Book. Is there any versatility on both ends of the floor from these names I just mentioned? Tyus Jones, Nick Richards, Grayson Allen, Royce O'Neal, Mason Plumlee, Monty Morris.
Monty Morris, Royce O'Neal, Mason Plumlee, that's like the all reject team. Like they've been on different teams that, you know, were contenders, but now they're here. We're with the Suns now. Royce O'Neal, one of them.
That's my point. So they thought you can put together these three names and we'll fill the roster out with just anybody and it's going to work. No, you got to win in the margins. Guys that can actually bring a consistent level of energy. And when it's needed, they can make big shots. They can give you rebounding. They can defend. They bring size. They bring athleticism. They bring youth. They bring energy.
What's funny is it doesn't take much to get these type of guys. The Celtics got Derek White. They traded Josh Richardson and I believe a second round pick or something to get Derek White. Romeo, it's just, you just got to know what you're scouting. You got to know what you're looking at with these players. The Celtics had a vision for Derek White.
Well, that's the thing with the Suns. You put in all this money on when you put your efforts into bringing in from the outside two big names in a Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant, You can't afford to build organically through the draft because you have to, your clock starts now, right? And so you ignore the natural building process. Memphis didn't build this overnight. I was there in Memphis when they drafted Ja. Like, it just didn't happen overnight. They went through a cycle of guys. Dylan Brooks was on the team. De'Anthony Melton was on it. Like, they went through a cycle of a period of learning and growing and figuring out the right pieces to put together, and they're doing it. Houston, this didn't happen overnight. The Thunder, we know this didn't happen overnight. Like, you know, and so the Suns were trying to pull a page out of the Lakers playbook, pretty much. Let's get big names and let's try to figure this thing out and win. But no, it's just, we're seeing what the Lakers are going through right now. They got their championship in 2020, but since then, what has this franchise been? It's the same story every year. You're not winning on the margins. You're relying on role players who really are playing up a level compared to what they really should be on a contending roster. That's what it, that's what, Tyus Jones is not a starting point guard on a championship team. Can we just say that?
Yeah.
Is Nick Richards is starting center? Is he a starting center?
No.
Ryan Dunn, I love his game. I think he's going to be good. Only a rookie. Is he a starting player in the league right on a championship team right now?
No.
Royce O'Neal is a 6'6 power forward who is not athletic, doesn't have a great handle, not a great passer. He brings toughness. I get it. But you're relying, like, the roster, looking at it, I can't be blinded by KD and Devin Booker and Bradley Beal. Basketball is about chemistry. It's about having energy. It's about guys being able to defend. It's about guys being able to pass, guys being able to just be a presence, be threats out there. I don't see enough threats on the floor. It's as simple as that. And you bring in Jimmy Butler, you take away Bradley Beal, well, you're still not solving the issue, the core foundation. And are we ignoring chemistry as well? Like, how many times do these teams have to make the same mistake thinking we can make a trade at the deadline and it's going to work? The Sixers and some fans foolishly thought, oh, Embiid doesn't have to play the regular season. We'll just bring him back in February and Paul George and Embiid and Maxey can figure it out.
They don't know the Paul George that I know. Oh, also, we'll keep Eric Gordon and Kyle Lowry on the team too. We started Eric Gordon last night. I was so disappointed.
This is where I'm at with the Sixers. I knew they were playing, but I didn't bother to watch. I have better things to do on my time.
I was bored. I had nothing else to do.
I'm going to watch. And it was a late game, too. Like, nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
I hadn't watched a Sixers game in a minute. I was like, let me tune in and just see what's going on. And I saw him starting. Like, okay.
Well, before the Denver game, I had watched at least some pieces of Sixers games, and last night I just couldn't do it. I'm just like, whoa, they don't respect themselves enough to be professionals. Why should I waste my time watching them play? Right? Joel Embiid doesn't think it's important to show up on the bench at least, even at home games. Why should I show up and waste my time? I can watch a team like the Thunder, the Cavs, the Celtics. I can watch some young guys really hoop and get it in. Why am I wasting time?
Shout out Russ, too. I just want to shout out Russ. He's balling for me. Shout out Russ.
Definitely. And so Phoenix right now, they're 21-21. They're the 10th seed, which is the play-in spot, mind you, right? You know what's crazy? They have 6 more wins than the Trailblazers. Look.
Trailblazers, they be sneaking these wins. I don't know what's going on. They be winning some games.
Should the Suns have 6 more wins than the Trailblazers entering this season? You, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, what were the expectations? What were we hearing? A team that can contend for the Western Conference Championship, and they have 6 more wins than the Blazers team that are repeat lottery offenders.
Shout out Scoot. Scoot balling too.
Scoot is figuring out. I love to see it. Is this team finishing in the top 6? Right now the top 6 is OKC, Houston, Memphis, Denver. Shout out to James Harden and the Clippers. I just want to get that out there too, since we just shout. Now, I want to shout out the Clippers and James Harden. The Clippers are 5th and the Lakers are 6. Above them, you got the Mavericks. Luka is hurt. Derek Lively is out for a little bit. That's going to hurt them. But Sacramento's 8th, Minnesota's 9th. The Suns are 10th. Will the Phoenix Suns finish? Let's say they get Jimmy Butler. Are they finishing in the top 6 in the West?
No. Still no.
Will they probably make it in as an 8th or 7th seed? And, you know, they'll probably beat these teams in the play-in, you think?
They're playing for sure.
Are they advancing past the first round? Can they beat OKC in a series?
They can't even beat the Timberwolves.
Can they beat Houston in a 7-game series?
Can they beat Memphis? Nah, okay. I don't like it.
I just wanted to make sure what's happening with this team. Speaking of playing teams, they're right above the Warriors, who are just trying to just get in the play-in. They're 21-21 too. A lot of conversations about should they capitalize on this Steph Curry era? Should they try to make a move? Obviously, I think some fans are upset that they didn't go after, they didn't get Zach LaVine. I'm here, Nikolai Vucevic. A lot of opinions on the Warriors situation. We've talked about it a little bit too in past shows. The question is twofold. Should the Warriors make moves to try to capitalize on the Steph Curry era and what he has left? Or should they think about just punting this season? And does Steph even think about leaving Golden State? I know people don't want to talk about that or approach that conversation because he's so – you think about the Warriors, you think about Steph Curry, obviously. But these are two questions that come to my mind. I don't think there's a move. Same thing with Phoenix. I don't think there's a move right now that's going to save the Warriors. It may make you better. It may sell hope to the fans. I think a lot of Warriors fans that I'm seeing on social media, they just want the team to make a move. They don't want the final years of Steph Curry go to waste, which I understand, right? I get it. With the Sixers, as Sixers fans, it's different because our franchise player is cooked. We know that physically, it's done. There's nothing there. And he's not even playing. So we have a right to say punt it because, no, it's just not happening. And we could lose our top six. We could lose our pick if it's not in the top six. So there's a lot riding on this season. For the Warriors, I get it. You don't want to see Steph Curry waste his final couple years just wasting away. Right? You want to see him competing in the playoffs for a chance to at least compete. And so I understand that. But in a managerial sense, front office sense, what is the wise move? What is that move to get this team in contention? For Warriors fans, do you just want to say you're in the playoff race just to say you're in it? Or do you really think there's a move that can really put you in conversation against OKC, Houston, Memphis, and Denver? And by the way, the thing called chemistry as well. So that's my thought.
Thing about Golden State is it's nearly impossible for them to really get somebody that's going to move the needle enough for them to actually be contenders again. The truth is the Warriors, they were based off of Klay, Curry, Draymond. Of course, KD came in for his couple seasons. But when we think Warriors, you know, their dynasty, their run, they won before KD, they won after KD. That's what it is. As bad as Klay was for his past few seasons with the Warriors, right? They're not going to find anybody that fits that role like Klay did. And I'm not even talking about, yes, they can find somebody better than Klay, right? Zach LaVine at this point in his career is better than Klay, right? But he's still not going to capture what Klay did, the chemistry of things. The timing of things. You talking about game six Klay. What's the odds of Zach LaVine doing that? Mm. What's the odds of him, you know, being able to guard the other team's best player? Who are they going to realistically get? The only way the Warriors become contenders again is if they get like a top 10 player. How are they going to do that? You know, they would have to get a LeBron type, a Luka type, a Jokic. You know what I mean? They had to get like a certified superstar that we know is going to come and produce. They can't get no, you know, B-level star, you know, Zach LaVine. Like, LaVine is nice. He's a baller. But that still won't move the needle for him. It's just, it is what it is. Y'all had y'all run. You know, it's not going to be like the Spurs. Because you know what? The Spurs were able to keep everybody together. They were able to keep Tony, Tim Duncan, Manu, Greg Pop. And then, they're able to get role players in and out of there. You know what I mean? But the Warriors, Draymond ran them away, bro. Like, he ran KD away. He ran JP away.
He punched Klay, him away.
Yeah, Klay had to, you know, Klay's time was up, I guess. You know, he's with the Mavs now. who are you really going to come in? And these young guys that they get, at the end of the day, they just don't get it. They don't get what the Warriors really did. Like they were in high school, middle school, whatever, watching them play. They don't really know. Like, yeah, they're practicing with them, you know, they're running the sets, the plays, but it's just not that magic that they had, it's not there. And it's like I said, it's nearly impossible to replace. Who are they really gonna find that's gonna take Klay's spot? For a month they thought it was Buddy Hield. No, bro, it's not Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield's a phenomenal shooter. He's not Klay.
In moments.
Yeah, he's not Klay. He's not Klay. And they're just not going to find it. They would have to really get a top 10 pick, land somebody in free agency. You know, and you know, it's a few moves that they made, you know, along the way, you know, kind of put them in this spot. You know, drafting James Wiseman instead of LaMelo. I thought James Wiseman was going to be nice. A lot of people did, but it didn't pan out. You know what I mean? Certain moves that they made, you know, and at the time it made sense for them. You know, they still got a ring after it, so, you know, we're not going to kill them for it, but it's time. And I think the Warriors won't do it. Steph has to do it. He has to, you know, really look at himself in the mirror and say, yo, I still got a couple years that I can really be at my peak. Let me go to a team. Let me try to get another ring. But that's for him to decide.
I think it's always hard when it comes to these great athletes and great teams, fans of those athletes and teams, to let go. And I think it's a lot of I get it. I get the frustration with Warriors fans. Like, you want to be relevant because you're used to being relevant, right? And you have Steph Curry, who is not he's not in his prime, but he's still a really productive player, and he's being asked to carry such a huge load. He's dealing with more injuries this year too, if people haven't noticed. And that comes with age. Yeah, that's just what it is, right? And so I get it. You want to be in the mix. You don't want to see Steph Curry's last couple years with your team. If Steph's your guy, if that's your favorite player, you don't want to see. I get it. Like, AI is my guy. I had to see him be in Memphis and Detroit. Like, I didn't like it. But I just had to face reality. Like, it's just time has passed them by. And you won four championships.
Yeah, good run. They're going down immortalized in NBA history, sports history.
Understand what I'm saying. MJ and the Bulls and them won six. You won four. Understand what you accomplished.
They won four in an era where, you know, like, players are moving in and out every other year. New teams are coming up every year. You know what I mean? So
you won before, as you mentioned, before KD and after KD. Your ring in 2022, I don't think many people expect it.
Nope. You also changed the sport of basketball. You changed the sport of basketball forever.
Steph Curry, arguably, you can make the argument that he's a top 10 player of all time. You can make that argument. It's not crazy to think about. I think his 2022 performance solidified that. Put me in that conversation. It's not crazy to think about. I get it. You want to be in the mix. But you got to be realistic as well about what you're saying here. You want the front office to make a move to put you in contention with the Thunder. I'm going to say it again. The Thunder, the Rockets, the Grizzlies, and the Nuggets. Think about this. Don't use your emotions. Don't be tied to yesteryear. Think about what you are and who you have now. The pieces that you have. What are teams willing to give up to get back Pozinski, Kuminga, Moody? Who else? Like, who... What's the benefit of me trading with the Warriors right now? If I'm Chicago, I give you LaVine. Okay, I get your young pieces back, maybe some picks, whatever, how that works out. Okay, you get a Zach LaVine. What's the rest of the – this is the same conversation with the Phoenix Suns. Zach LaVine on that roster with Draymond Green and Steph Curry. What else is the roster looking like? So I understand it. Should the Warriors make a move? Yes. Just simply because Steph Curry is there, he's still a viable player. Yes, you still should make a move. But I also want fans to be realistic about their expectations and understand there's no deal that can save you. Phoenix Suns, there's no deal that can save you. But I get it. You want to compete, you got to sell hope. And the reality is, there are really three places that you can be in the NBA. You're a contender. You're stagnant, which is no man's land, or you're just trash. And the Warriors are right in that middle spot. They got to be very careful about what they do over the next couple of years because it can be really important when it comes to the direction of your team. But I get it. But the moral of the story of this show, there's nobody to save you for the Suns, and there's nobody to save you for the Warriors. But if you want to just get in the mix and compete and have a chance and see where it goes, I understand it, I get it, and I agree with it. But just be realistic about where this is going. Championship dreams should not be there for the Warriors right now. It's a new era. After four championships, salute. It was a good run. But it's over. It's over.
Yeah, it's a wrap.
This is, I mean, the Lakers too. There's nobody like I'm hearing like reports about this, the same cycle. Oh, the Lakers stars want the Lakers to make a move. What move are we making? I thought Austin Reeves was that third piece. Rui. Am I tripping?
Nah, it's a wrap.
Like, the Suns and Lakers are in the same boat to me. Like, make a move, but where you're relying on a 40-year-old basketball player to carry you. He's still great. He still has great moments. But can we use common sense? I know you're fans, but sometimes you just got to be real with yourself. Nobody's coming to save these teams. As Sixers fans, we've accepted it. Come join the party. We're trying to plant our flag, Dylan Harper, Ace Bailey. Like, we're trying to get somebody. We're trying to strip this thing down from and do it the right way. Do it the right way. But putting big names together for the sake of big names and ignoring chemistry and actual cohesive unit and building it and winning on the margins when it comes to roster building, it's fool's gold, and we've seen it time and time and time again. But we still don't learn our lesson there because we still believe that. You know, Steph will be 37 in March.
Yeah.
He'll be 38 by the end of next year. But we still have hope that these legends, if we just add this piece, they can still get it done. I get it. But it's not going down like that, I promise you. Unless Steph goes to Houston or Memphis or OKC or Denver or the Clippers, it's not going down like that, I promise you. It's not. Same thing for KD. He's still getting it done, but come on. Like, let's go back through history. How many times have teams won the championship with guys pushing 40 as the best player?
And no, it's not a lot.
But there's a reason for that. And I understand, as somebody who just turned 36, I get why. It's just certain things, it's just the reality of it. You can still play, but certain things you can't. It's just not hitting. It's just different. It just is. And these guys are pro athletes. They take care of their body. I get it. But eventually, Father Time going to catch up. And these fans got to be honest. You got to be honest. Jimmy Butler is pushing 40. Kevin Durant is pushing 40. Devin Booker still, you know, he's still in his prime. But have you watched the Thunder lately? Have you watched the Rockets lately? Have you watched the Grizzlies lately? I'm just saying. Hate to be like doom and gloom. Like, make your moves, Warriors, Suns. Make your moves. I get it. I would want you to make moves too if I was a fan. But also be realistic about the expectations. That's all.
Yeah.
Just take it for what you take it and run with it. Do what you will with that. But just understand, if they make these moves and things don't pan out again, don't blame the front office. Because they did what you wanted them to do. They did the best they could do. Sometimes front offices do the best that they can do. Sometimes they put themselves, like Phoenix put themselves in this position. Make no mistake about it. But in reality, fans, is this not what you want? You wanted KD, right? You were excited when you got Bradley Beal, right? Let's keep it all the way balanced and consistent. Let's just do that. That's all I'm saying. So that's all I got, bro. So,
yeah, it's just Father Time. It's undefeated. You know, it is what it is. It's like we said, it's new teams that are getting better every year. We see the Pistons are getting better. They're not contenders now, but in a year or two, they might be.
Yeah.
The Spurs, they're going to be pretty good in a few years.
Yeah.
Maybe next year. You know what I mean? So it's new teams every year. It's just, you know, it is what it is. It's the cycle.
Yeah. So we'll see. Trade deadline is – when's the trade deadline? Trade deadline is February 6th, Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern time. So – with this Jimmy Butler stuff getting suspended two games, I think this deal's going to happen. I wouldn't be shocked if it happens by the end of the week, to be honest with you. We're recording this on a Wednesday. He just got suspended for two games. Phoenix just made a move. I don't think this is a situation that goes all the way up until Thursday, February 6th. I just don't see it. So next show, we might have something to talk about because there might be other teams involved. We got to figure out, okay, maybe the Sixers are involved, which I would be happy about because it means, look, we're punting on this season. Yes, I want the Sixers to punt on the season. Am I wrong for that?
No, that's over.
Can we keep our top six pick? Can we keep it?
I hope.
To me, that's a win. That's all I want out of this season. I don't want to see Kyle Lowry and Eric Gordon. We got a senior citizen backcourt. I just can't do it. I can't do it anymore. So join the reality with Sixers fans, Phoenix Suns fans, Lakers fans, Warriors fans. Join Reality Island. That's just all I got. This is Reality Island. You know where your team is. Sure, you want to compete. If you can make the playoffs, salute. But just understand, it's not going down like how you think it is. So thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Remember, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We'll see y'all next time.
Peace out.